المزاني على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد بن عبد الله الصادق الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين وعلى كل من صار على منواله ودربه بإحسان إلى يوم القرار والخلود والدين. أما بعد، brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 24th day of the month of Dhu-Hijjah 1440. Hijrah, 25th of the month of August 2019 CE. Here at Mus'ab ibn Umair Masjid Hall, night early hours in Kaduna, we are here for this discussion on the topic that you have chosen. You asked me to contribute my part of it. May Allah make it easy for us. Nigeria and the challenges of sectarian terror. Shiite uprising in view. But in the view of this uprising, then definitely there are some consequential impacts on this thing called sectarian terror. Now, I had wanted it to be kind of a presentation, but time factor wouldn't allow me to have the paper written the proper way. Yeah, proper way I had wanted. But I have it in the way it is. The Arabic handwriting should be easily or oddly seen and be visually seen and can be read properly, I mean. But I am starting with what I call ijtihad. You can have it. Usually when I talk I ask. If you have the paper in your hand, that will make it more convenient for you to be asked and to answer me. Because as I talk, I ask. That is important in giving the opportunity to kind of internalize, so to speak, what I am saying. I start by what I call ijtihad in Arabic. This ijtihad means begging Allah, beseeching Allah for a favor at the stage, okay, the beginning of what you want to say. It says, Ya man yara ma fi al-damiri wa yasma'u, is there. Anta al-mu'addu li kulli ma yutawakka'u. يا من يرجى في الشدائد كلها يا من إليه المشتكى والمرجع line 2 stanza 2 يا من خزائر رزقه في قول كن أمن فإن الخير عندك أجمع next line ما لي سوى فقري إليك وسيلة وفي الافتقار إليك فقري أدفع Next line. ما لي سوى قرعي لبابك حيلة فلئن رددت فأي باب أقرأ. Subsequently, ومن الذي أدعو وأحتف باسمه إن كان فضلك عن فقيرك يمنع. حاشا لفضلك أن تقنط عاصيا والفضل أجزل والمواهب أوسع بالذل قد وافيت بابك عالما أن التذلل عند بابك ينفع وجعلت معتمدي عليك توكلا وبسطت كيفي سائلا أتضرع اجعلنا من كل ضيق مخرجا والطف بنا يا من إليه المرجع ثم الصلاة على النبي وآله خير الخلائق شافين ومشفر These lines or points You can recall for the last 7 or 8 years, I taught you this in your former place. You can remember, during our monthly program, I said memorize these stanzas. My thought is when I started to hear the echo amongst you, rhyming together with me, but it appears they have gone into oblivion. It is memorized. Knowledge is only maintained, it is oft-repeated. What is oft-repeated is oft-assimilated. They attain the tikrar yafham al-himar. Ma takrara takrara. The translation might come later at the end of the presentation. But this is just the beginning. Then I say proceeding. This topic, Nigeria and the challenges of sectarian terror, is encapsulated in this way. Number one, introduction. Number two, conceptual clarification on FT, sectarian terror. Conceptually, what does it mean? Number three, plurality of the Nigerian state, a blessing or a curse. Number four, the quintuplet codification of these challenges and more. If something is to be quintuplet, what does that mean? In fivefold, not double, not triple, not quadruple, but quintuple. In fivefold. Number five, Shiite uprising, a sun in the flesh of the Ummah. Number six, suggested ways out, inshallah. Finally, Al-Khatima, the curtain drawn, asking Allah the best of Khatima. First ahead, introduction. Nigeria, as a, just how, just the reading, Nigeria as a geopolitical entity has its own peculiar problems and worries. This applies to all human geographies and ethnicities. To have a challenge in life is not something outlandish or unnatural. Okay, on the contrary, it is something expected going by the human nature and composition. An age-long housewife added, had it in this connection. It says, Zomuzona, Zomuzaba. Is an age-long adage. Zomuzona, Zomuzaba. Therefore, it is not uncommon to have a disagreement or even a conflict that can degenerate into having a dimension or coloring of terrorism. What is detestable, however, is to allow by commission or omission such an ugly trend had or have is ravaging how its way ravaging the lives of the hitherto peaceful and peace-loving communities and individuals. I go further. Certainly, no meaningful development can be achieved or attained in the absence of peace, tranquility, okay, and stability. Yes, this topic couldn't have come at a better time in the light of the unpleasant havoc wreaked on the psyche of our beloved nation by deviant religious rulers, especially the Shiites, that have a gloomy historical antecedent for the time immemorial. Yet gloomy, as history as an example cannot forget, the treachery as an example, and going down history lane, history will not forget, for example, the treachery of Ibn al-Alqami, who lived from 1197 to 1258 CE. What does CE mean, Damascus? Christian, as against the eight. Don't say eight. What is eight, if I should ask you? After death. Who died? Quran is saying, Wama qatalu wama qatalu. You keep on hanging on after who died. Even Anno Domini is also aberrational. It is aberrationally misleading. So just settle for CE Christian era through the collaboration of Nasir al-Tusi. These were personalities who were Shiites in those times, and they helped in wreaking havoc on the Ummah, who lived between 1201 to 1274 CE, when they betrayed the Abbasid Caliph al-Mu'tasim. That was when they perniciously supported Hulagu in sacking Baghdad in 1258 CE. They are both Shiites with a darkened history of unfaithfulness against the deen. Certainly, please correct it, it says certainly, there should be end there. Certainly, migratory trends, okay, does exist in persistence in religious and doctrinal realities among humans. Yes. Little wonder, therefore, to see Shiites behaving the way they do. Says a poet, who is that? Abul Ala al-Mu'arri. Al-Mu'arri states, وَيَنْشِئُ وَيَنْشَئُ نَشِئُ السِّبِيَانِ مِنَّا أَلَى مَا كَانَ أَوَّلَهُ أَبُوهُ. To this extent, the curtain is drawn on my introduction to the topic. This, and it's really a topic with this view of. That's the introduction. So segment number one of the paper is dealt with. I want it to be in this way. And I would like, almost whatever I say, I throw one or two questions. There were some personalities. One of them was known as Ibn al-Halqan. And the other guy was called Nasir al-Tusi. Is there in the paper? They were both Shiites. Some donkeys back. They joined hands with the Mongols who attacked Baghdad. The caliph then was Al-Mu'tasim, the son of Harun al-Rashid. He was Sunni, though it's too dark history of some theoretical behaviors connected. But he was Sunni. The Shiites joined hands with Kafirun in killing people in Baghdad. In those days, 1258. So there is what I call migratory attitudes. Those things migrated to the psyche of Shiites in those days till the end of time, unless our intervention is handy. So little wonder to see these things happening. The only thing is the Ummah is almost asleep. We are not alive to our responsibility through education. We shall see, inshallah, as we go further. So in the light of this, I quoted two lines of poems written by Abul Ala al-Mu'arri. He said, I'm repeating, وَيَنْشَهُ نَاشِهُ السِّبِيَانِ مِنَّا أَلَى مَا كَانَ أَوَّلَهُ أَبُوهُ. نَاشِهُ السِّبِيَانِ, a small boy growing up, he copies the attitude of his predecessors. Yeah, doctrinally too. So the Shiites are doing what it was done previously. Just like any young boy or girl that grows up on the fanatic priesthood, the chances are that you will behave in that manner because of the line of point. وَيَنْشَأُ نَاشِئُ السِّبِيَانِ مِنَّا عَلَى مَا كَانَ أَوَّلَهُ وَأَبُوهُ. Next, conceptual clarification. What is the challenge? Because you say Nigeria and the challenges of sectarianism. Okay, what is the challenge? Word by word. First of all, a challenge can be seen as a tasking situation in which mental and physical efforts are needed to overcome it with a degree of confidence. That is my own defining challenge. Anything that bedevils me, bedevils you, worries you, and now you want to find out a way out, is it chilling? You have to employ all apparatus handy to combat it. To combat it, not convert it, combat it. That is the challenge. As an example, you hear an officer saying, we are facing challenges in putting back our services on track. Maybe a communication expert will tell you, we are facing challenges, okay, on how to put back our services on what? On a track. So here is the message he is giving you. Here you have two distinctive realities handy. Number one, a challenging disruption of a badly needed service. On the other hand, a resolute determination on the part of those responsible to bring it what back on a sound footing. That is the challenge. To be understood in their saying, we are facing to the end of it. On the other hand, we can conveniently settle for this as an epistemological definition of what can be regarded as SD, sectarian terror. In Arabic, they call it al-irhabu ta'ifi. In Arabic, al-irhabu ta'ifi. In scholastic cycles, have it as opined somewhere by Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. It says, sectarian violence or sectarian strife is a form of communal violence inspired by sectarianism. That is between different sects of one particular mode of ideology or religion within a nation or community. We can quickly infer in the light of the foregoing inter alia, we can infer the following. Number one, that sectarian terror is an evil phenomenon owing to it being a violence as qualified in the above quotation as an adjective for quality. It says communal violence. Am I communicating? Okay. Two, that it is inspired by a socio-cultural as well as religious painful reality called sectarianism. That between the divergent sects of one particular ideology or religion. Three, that it can be within a nation or community. It is communal. And four, among other inseparable points in the life of the Caucasian people. So, sectarian terror can be of this nature. But you see, the Western society today has failed to give you a unanimously accepted definition of terrorism. They use the qualification at will. Those who are against or civilizing against terrorism. If a Muslim misbehaves, he's a terrorist. But if the other guy doesn't, no, he is mentally retarded, he's mentally challenged. They look for excuses. Would you appear as a Muslim, you are looked at with suspicion. But if a Marxist will grow, Marxist, if you like, a beard, he is applauded to the high heaven. You can see the ambivalence. Okay? The dog. If a sister wears hijab, she is looking at with scorn. She becomes confident. But if a Christian lady, mother, whatever they call her, appears like Mary, she is applauded. The central point is that it is the deed we don't want. So do not be bamboozled or just be sidetracked into believing that terrorism is one-way traffic. Somebody can be, a Muslim can be, a Christian can be, anybody can be. But it is something we call a condemnable social misnomer. Next point, plurality of Nigerian states. Is it a blessing or a curse? I want it to be an interactive session. What is your take on that? Plurality of the Nigerian state, a blessing or a curse? Should be, you say should be. We are very tactical in answering. Is it a blessing or a curse? Curse, C-U-R-S, curse. Plurality of Nigerian states, a blessing or a curse? It should be. I concur with it, should be. That's true. Don't give me, you know, just an automatic blessing or not. It is dependent on the situation and reality. Nigeria today, what is the population number? Are we up to 100 million? Oh, 200 million. That is staggering. They are saying by the year 2050, our number will hit 400 million. Will we allow them? But the number is growing at the rate of 2.6% annually. That is our population. Should that be a source of blessing or a source of a worry? It should be a source of what? Blessing. Because the greater the number of population, the chances of harnessing the experiences for betterment are there. But the reality today is lamentable. Lamentably disgusting. So I am saying, is it plurality a source of blessing or a curse? Here I go. Plurality should be a source of blessing and pride for any nation and not that of an anguish or catastrophe. Nigeria, said to be the seventh in terms of population growth in the world today, is the seventh. After China, then India, second, USA, third, Indonesia, fourth, Brazil, fifth, Pakistan, sixth, Nigeria is seventh. Closely followed by Bangladesh. These are the most populous nation in the world. You can see Nigeria has number one in the south. I am saying Nigeria should celebrate its population blazing in the most positive way. What is that? Namely, hand should be on deck in assuring for the citizenry all that it takes for a nation to be great on account of sheer largeness of its population. One of the most important, if not most important, straight ahead in ensuring is ensuring the security of life and properties of all and sundry. Instructively, any sectarian crime posing a threat or having the potentiality of posing a threat to the corporate existence of a nation should be handled maturely and promptly, as well as in a decisive manner, punctuated by professionalism. Are you getting me? Now, any nation that has a population, take for example China, boasts of having 1/6 of the total global population. 1/6. Serious. In fact, at the time they even boasted, if one Chinese will hold the hand of his friend, they will surround the whole world. I don't know how truthful is this. They are now all over the place. Do you have them in Kaduna?
No.
Go to Kano. Go to Kurumi Market, contemporary. You see them even selling atamba on the head. Getting huge pieces of land So China is now colonizing the world, if you don't know. Because they have the money. Somebody said in Uganda now, there are more than 53 different schools learning Mandarin. You know Mandarin? Chinese language. They want to conquer you through their social, cultural superimposition, their language. Maybe one day you will hear your children speaking Chinese one day. Because it's also part of it. So I'm saying their growth of number to them is a source of laziness. But why is Nigeria different? We should celebrate the plurality and not one side. How? Through what you will see more later. Next, the quintuplet nature of these challenges. Now I want to specifically draw our attention that the nature of this challenge is encapsulated, is punctuated by six or five to six different variables. I told you the meaning of challenge in my own way. Sectarian terror. It's called Al-Irhabu Al-Taifi. Now I say the act of governance puts on the actors compelling demand. On what? Compelling demand. Those demands, when wholly or even partly made, there exists arguably the guarantee for a challenge-free set of things. Although, okay, seeming difficult to come by. It's difficult to talk of a challenge-free society. But at least, you will be able to put it down the manageable level. Because to have a challenge is something natural, I said it earlier. But something can be achieved, definitely. If these five things are met, though my suggested ways out are yet to be handy, but at this juncture, I am saying, there's a total absence of, or death of these things, among others, are the actual causative agent of challenges in any given human society. Before giving details, listen. The basis for attaining Allah's ultimate grace, endorsement, and of pleasure is what? Let me ask you. What is the basis for acquiring Allah's endorsement? What is the paradigm upon which Allah looks at you favorably? At-taqwa. He says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ Surah 14, ayah number 13. The base of you in the eyes of Allah is the base character-wise, attitudinally. For you to be accepted by Allah, you don't have to be somebody from any, from a certain geography or ethnicity. No. The gateway to Allah is at-taqwa. Any nation missing taqwa misses everything else. Believe you. So before analyzing those quintuplet points as the original baseline for the challenges facing Nigeria, here's the introduction. One point says, عَلَيْكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ لَحْظَةٍ وَلَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى نَفْسٍ فَقَدْ رَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ سَلْمَانَ فَارِسٍ وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشُّرْكُ الشَّرِفَ عَبَالَهُ It's not covered here. I urge you to maintain taqwa. Any moment, look at it. Abu Lahab was Prophet's uncle in hellfire for the absence of taqwa. Salman al-Farisi, a Persian, not a Qurayshi, in the paradise because of taqwa. So it tells you, blood bond does not guarantee you endorsement of Allah. The only commodity is at taqwa. اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين، اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين. So I am saying, taqwa is the better. Allah says, for example, in Surah number 4, Ayah number 1, يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. سورة 4 النساء آية نمبر 1. Look at the ayah critically. Look at it analytically. Translation. O ye mankind. Here the Quran addresses mankind generally. For the sake of more clarification, the ulama of Quranic sciences are saying any Medina surah usually does not start with Ya Ayyuhan Nas. But An-Nisa is Medina. Why? They are saying to every ruling there is an exception. There are isolated cases. Except Al-Baqarah is Medina. But around ayah 20 was there is Ya Ayyuhan Nas. The beginning of An-Nisa, Ya Ayyuhan Nas. Surah Al-Hijurat, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, Inna Khalaqanakum Min Dhakar. Minus these few instances. Otherwise, a Medina Surah uses Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu. Because Iman was then enshrined. Usually Ayyuhal Nas is a Meccan style at the beginning. But there was some isolation at your cases. So Allah says, Ya Ayyuhal Nasu, O ye mankind. Now Allah is addressing His call. اتقوا ربكم. Keep your duty to your Lord. That is, fear your Lord. الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. Who created you from one single soul. Who is that? Adam. وخلق منها. ها. It's a ضمير يعود إلى النفس. أكيد. وخلق أي من تلكم النفس آدم زوجها its mate its partner its wife. So from beginning matrimony started. This introduces another topic of discussion. That married life is as old as human existence itself. So if anybody is preaching against marriage, he is causing a trouble to the human existence. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا مِنْهُمَا singularity, duality or plurality? No. Duality. مِنْهُمَا الْجَمْعُ مفرد ولا مثنى؟ مثنى. وبث منهما from both, from the duo. بث الله spread, dispersed. رجالا males and females. كثيرة incalculable. يا الله. Can you tell me the number of females today in the world? Men. Who can give me the statistical number of females in Nigeria? Don't waste your time, please. Take it easy. So منهما كثيرا ونساء. Allah says واتقوا الله. Again he emphasizes التقوى. At the beginning التقوى. Again واتقوا. Fear Allah that you ask one another by His name. والأرحام. Do not sever your bond of relationship. الأرحام. Because إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Allah keeps watchful eyes on you. Watches only. So this introduces this segment they can talk like. That taqwa is the basis of everything. Okay? Similarly, in Surah number 6, Ayah number 82, another important factor for attaining crisis-free society, a challenge-free society, a rancor-free society, inshallah ta'ala, is in Ayah 82 in Surah Al-An'am. Allah says, الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. Those who believe and do not obscure their faith with a wrongdoing, it is for them shall be security, and they are the ones that are rightly guided. Two things come out here: security, being guided. Some people want to look at security materially. The concept of security in Islam is by far higher than that. In Islam, security is much deeper than the conventional concept of security. An example makes it clear and clearer. Here is somebody, a multimillionaire, well guarded in his house, with every kind of latest gadget for security. You talk of armed men, well-trained dogs, guns, you name it. Is he secure? No, he is. Conventionally, he is. Conventionally, he is what? He is. You have everything. The megadi is there. The Kato Sankare is there. The armored car out there. Be secure. At least in the conventional sense. But inside his room, inside the bedroom, there are brands of hot bricks. Prostitutes, morally banker women are there. He's not secure. At least he's not secure spiritually. He is physically. But what kind of security are you talking about when you are inviting your number one enemy to take you to Jahannam? You might be secured conventionally, but spiritually. So this ayah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. What is al-amn? Security. It tells you if the ummah, if the society does not care about mixing their belief with polytheism, facing rivals against Allah, going to marabu, soothsayers, fortune tellers, concoctors, okay, witch doctors, whatever, they are not secure. Their iman is shaky. They are committing zina. They are lying. Lesbianism. Somebody was telling me in Kaduna, we came across a lot of women married. The so-called sugar mummies and sugar daddies. And when you provide it today, and you expect peace to reign, I am afraid. Is it peace or peace? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. So this is the basis. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Those who believe without mixing, obscuring their iman with transgression, al-zulm. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. This one exclusively are the ones to earn al-amn, security. And look at al-amn with alif wa lam. لِمَاذَا لِلْمَعْرِفَةِ. Oh, alif alam al-ahdiya, the conventional commodity with Allah al-am. America can be most secure today. But is it? Tell me the most protected president in the world today. He is victory. But actual security is to be saved from going to hellfire. What is the point of millions of money spent to protect you at the end of the day you are crunching the hellfire? What is security?
look at this ayah critically.
Men and sisters, take it again. Alladhina amanu, number one.
وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ
بِظُلْمٍ بِظُلْمٍ
أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَهْلُ.
For them shall be security.
وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They are the ones that are truly guided. So this tells us about the basis of everything. You see, this ayah, when it was revealed, the Sahaba became worried. Ya Rasulullah, Allah mentions a dhulm kind of wrongdoing. None of us that must have committed a dhulm.
One way or the other, it's not take it easy. It's not the type of we are talking about. The dhulm that Allah is talking is a shirk. He said, can't you read what Luqman told his son? Go and give me the ayah. Allah is right. This is ayah number 13. This is surah number 31. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. When Luqman was preaching to his son, some scholars identified the name of the son as Mishkan. What does it mean?
Immaterial.
Son is son. Name apart. But for additional knowledge, he told his son, يَا بُنَيَّ, oh my little son, listen, لا تشرك بالله. Because in the shirka, certainly polytheism, لظلم عظيم, is a tremendous wrongdoing. He qualified by saying, عظيم. That's the meaning there. So, the ayah I quoted previously, An-Nisa 1, and this one, Al-An'am 682, they are here also many ayahs which are with the introduction. So they keep couple of things and information. In the light of this topic you have given me to talk about. Some questions are there. The Sahaba were materially poor, you can see. But super rich spiritually. And we don't want that one. We want to have things easy going, but our attitude is there. Today, we live in a society, أعوذ بالله, أستغفر الله, أستغفر الله, أستغفر الله. Or even mention it. Sodomy has been popularized. Homosexuality, أستغفر الله. Even some people are campaigning for the so-called same-sex marriage. In a Muslim society, where Allah says, ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها. Lesbianism. Astaghfirullah, in our schools, in our society, reducing the major, coming to work late and leaving earlier than the schedule, and you're collecting salaries, being negligent of prayers, some women do not even know how to take bath in the hostel of Ohio or Geneva. Somebody at the age of 40, 50, 60 cannot read Quran properly as it should be recited and rehearsed. Befriending the enemies of Allah. Exposing the secret of the Ummah to their antagonists. Political system become a kind of acrobatical veil of negative attitudes. Dipping hands on public properties and aliens. And you want to be out of many, many instances in society. So these two ayat out of many are there. Having had this, I make progress. There are five necessary things that should be provided by those in authority in order to maintain justice and fairness. So I call them the quintuplet requirement, quintuplet. هناك أشياء خماسية لابد من تحقيقها إذا كنتم تريدون الأمن والاستقرار والسلامة في الوطن. Yes. Number one, there should be security. I said it.
I used the key to travel from Kaduna to Abuja by 1 midnight.
A little bit?
Why are you afraid?
What?
I cannot leave Bangui in the farthest corner of the north of Bangui. I'm cheating. Precisely, it has to come on border with Cameroon. I'm cheating. I was there in Bangui. Traveled from Amsterdam to Senegoda and Lagos after Ikorodu. From Abuja, I was there in Calabar to Kwangwalan to enter Matama in Niger. These four cycles, can a Nigerian confidently, comfortably travel by the night? Why? Absence of one commodity known as the tourist. There are a lot of loopholes. Why? So it is the duty of those in governance, in government, to make sure people are secure. That is number one. Security of property, of life. I was in Medina last Umrah this year. One young boy, my student, took me from Medina. We were going there for Umrah together. A student in Islamic University in Medina. He said, "Yeah, Sheikh, wallahi I can remember. We're talking about Nigeria. He said, "I remember there was a time I took my wife in my car from Medina to Mecca. In the road, after Isha prayer, the girl parked the car and went under the current storm for a mountain to have a rest. No sooner had they passed than security agent arrived. They said, "Your sheikh, please move a little further there because we're spinning in our system. Therefore, there's some little animal to handle." Not to cut them off, they are advising, "We are still in our system, some little thing will come at hand, just you and your wife. To rest in peace." As-salamu alaykum. Let's see what it is. I cried in my heart. You will love him to be in their country. After Isha, can you make the mistake of visiting Nigeria? Try. You can't do it. Today in the broad daylight, you see this act of rascality. We have the population. We have the resources. We have whatever that takes to have a crime-free society. Or at least something to be brought down at manageable level. So security is property number one. Out of five. Security. Two, food production. Food production to be in sufficiency. Sufficient food production. They call it al-ghidha' al-amni or al-amn al-ghidha'i. Al-amn al-ghidha'i, food security. Al-amn al-tabi'i, security. You see? Security of property and lives is central, is essentially essential in earning, in maintaining a crime-free society. Plus what to eat. Because if you don't have food, there is no security. You look for it, naturally. That is why Allah called Meccan on these two things. He said, "Allazi at'amahum min ju'in wa amanahum min khawf." Two classes of security is mentioned in Surah Al-Quraysh. Are you with me? It is Allah who fed them for security. Minjuim from what? Hunger. Wa amanahum and secured them. Min khawf. Awalam yaraw anna ja'alna haraman amina
ويتخطف الناس من حوله. Can they say we have given a sanctuary that is Kaaba? Nigeria is in danger of security and food production to be insufficiency, so that hunger and extreme are reversed or eliminated totally. Ask yourself, are we still secure in Nigeria? Are we? Well, somebody might tell you, it depends on the geography from which you come. Are you from the northern part of Nigeria? North east? Or where? Are you from Lagos? It depends. But we're talking about Nigeria as one geopolitical entity as a whole. Don't have to partition it. It's one nation. All of the needs will be asked by Allah the Almighty. Believe you or not. People too will be asked if there is to cooperate for having this important commodity. Then food. Can we claim confidently to be food sufficient today? Contemporaneously? No. Not to eat. Those countries that are said to be, they engage in farming. Wallahi, you will be surprised. I was in a city in the state of Pennsylvania in America. The name of the city is called Farmingdale, happening. Farmingdale. I said, what relationship? He says the city is predominantly a farming city. Often from federal accounts, you will see a farmer in the village with his old-fashioned car, almost 20-year-old car. He doesn't care. He takes pride in feeding the president in Washington. But the farmer today, what do you call it? The fertilizer, the urea, the whatever. It's not even fertilizer. Even our land for farming seem to be dealt a deadly blow. The macronutrient needed in the earth is almost taken away today by commission or omission. Those countries, they have food. You cannot talk of hunger in Russia, in China, in America, and we have the farming land in Nigeria. Just take a trip to Canada, to Kura, other parts of the country. But how many of you, I'm asking you, how many of you is on the farm? How many bags of rice did you do last year? I know of myself, you Unko. You have to eat now. So that is the second thing. Otherwise, the challenge will come. Because somebody is hungry today, he has to look for what to do. Look at the lion in the jungle. If lion didn't eat for 3 days, antelopes, gazelles are in trouble. He has to find a way out. A little boy not fed by his mother begins to cry. So, that is number two. Number three, quality education. Without education, there will be danger. Because minus education, I mean quality education, qualitative, not necessarily quantitative education, quality education. Somebody might be catapulted into nonsensical attitude through ignorance. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Somebody taking a gun to kidnap, element of ignorance is there. Oh, definitely. Education. Somebody being pulled, just join the right people. That's ignorance. Those educators are happy to be seen there. Wallahi, the remnant of society, The ulama call them al-khutala min al-ummah.
Khutala. Do al-ummah are those who gravitated.
Somebody using friends.
I'll give you an example. During the political campaign, in the heyday, one political actor gathered young men, ignorant young boys. He brought us money and weapons. So, okay, young men, this is the time for you to show your worth. One of the boys seemed to be educated, got the information that this man, two of his sons were on vacation from a UK university back in Nigeria. He said, but sir, give us just one of your sons to be part of us in this campaigning spree. Let your son be part of us. Was he right? Was the man, the boy, right? He didn't get me right. Was he right? During the political activities campaign, one political actor, I'm repeating, gathered young boys, fast, call them fast. He brought out the weapons, intoxicant. Okay, go for the action. To actualize his political desire. One of the boys among the thugs was a little bit educated. He got the information that two of the sons of this man were on vacation in Nigeria from a UK university. So the boy said, sir, allow us to have one of your sons to be part of our activity. Is that clear now?
Yeah.
Was the boy correct?
Yeah.
Why was he correct?
Education.
And the man says, Kibana Chambanga Kadi. So the boy says, okay, so we are Mbanga. And let me tell you, we are not Mbanga. At least I am not one. And take your fucking money just to throw everything. He went away. As for you, if you hear me, leave this man. It doesn't mean well for you. The point is, what? Education. So, another collective agent of insecurity out of the complex variables I told you, security number one should go up there. Food production, and then quality, what? Education. Because Allah says, those who know are not the same as those who don't know. Number three, job opportunities and chances. Because usually our education is an investment education. The higher the qualification, the greener the posture. If that's the case, so please, if we have given them education, there should be what? A commensurate chances of employability. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Chances of what? Employability. You're producing children with high-sounding, resonant qualifications, but some. They are saying, idle hands are the devil. It's natural. Al-ayad al-mu'attala dakatina idlis. To cast dakatina jam'at al-kaf. Al-ayad al-mu'attala ghayru amila dakatina idlis. How somebody is a PhD holder? Master. Okay? He has a certificate. Without a job. And you have one political actor who cannot even write his name properly. Okay?
Assalamualaikum. Somebody with vehicle registration number SDR57AA. So for the day, vehicle is moving on this so they need to put the handbrake.
Okay.
So I am saying number four, job opportunities and chances. And still under number four, eradication of nepotistic tendencies in the process of employment. What do I mean here? Eradication of nepotistic tendencies. What does that mean? What is nepotism? Who can tell me? What is nepotism? Yes, sir.
Okay, advantage given to certain.
Aha! He is my son, the brother of my wife, and the like. I give him what he does deserve. The only qualification is this linkage. What is nepotism? And it thrives in Nigeria. You agree with me? So it's not only this, it also causes chaos in society. If you are not deserving, you won't get it. Not Nigeria. Today is on record, there are children unborn, yet they have offer. The mother is pregnant, offer is pregnant for the yet to be born. We have a mind of it. I have a shit on Jamilus. I have a shit on Halalus. A little boy being suckled by the mother, yet is collecting salary. How? Somebody is dead for quite a long time. Yet the information is mutilated. Someone else is collecting. And you cannot talk. So you want to be my enemy. I am joining from Allah's risk. Allah's risk. So I am saying number four, job opportunities and chances and eradication of nepotistic tendencies in the process of employment. Nepotism away. Mediocrity, take it away. But meritocracy is the same. You are employed based on merit. Not mediocre. That is point number four. Number five. I say allow still again, number four. Allow merit and fairness, not mediocre and impunity. Not mediocre and impunity. Number five, healthcare delivery system. They say health is what? Health is wealth. We should have good hospitals with good doctors, call them not quack. We will practice them quackery. Good doctors, quantified, who can do things professionally. But today our hospitals, some of them are just consulting clinics. Today healthcare, if you want it, well, you go to China, you go to India, you go to Egypt, you go to where else?
UK.
Now?
UK.
And you know what? It depends on the nation that colonizes you. If England colonized, you go to London.
They are kind of there.
Colonized by the French people, you go to the Francophone capital, Paris. Colonized by the Portuguese, you go to Lisbon. Colonized by the Belgians, you go to Brussels. Where is African nation? So Putin of Russia one day makes a certain clarification. Well, Africa today is like a graveyard for the Africans. I do not agree with him, but to some extent, there is a semblance of truth in what he's saying. They eat in imported food, their children educated outside. If they are sick, they go to foreign countries. If they are dead, they are brought back to Africa. So he said Africa is like greater than Africa. I never agree totally, but to some extent, that is the lamentable reality to some extent. So I am saying, to this extent, have I given you the five questions? Number one, what did I say? Number two. Food? All right. Number three. Quality education. Number four. An eradication of nepotistic tendencies. Okay. And then again, healthcare delivery system. Let me ask you, how many universities do you have in Nigeria? Doctor education.
How many universities do you have?
The average number. How many?
100
plus. 100 plus. Okay, okay.
Nigerian universities are categorized into three first.
The old timers. You talk about the first generation. You are. You are. So we battle. 1948. I think it's the oldest. It's the oldest. 1948. Then these are regarded as the first timers. First what? Generation.
You mentioned 18 there?
Yeah,
62. 62.
Then you have the second generation. UK. 75. Some told you. Unilore. Then you have the third generation of today.
Kasheri.
Where? Gombe. One in Latvia. Nasarawa. I was at UB Tuesday. This was just last 2 days. The other one?
Gustav.
Gustav. These are called the third generation. They are federally owned and maintained. There are those belonging to the third universe. You have the castle. The castle character. The castle character. And it is like late. Okay. Now, what about the privately owned universities? And I want to ask you, how many universities are owned by the Muslims today in Nigeria? How many belonging to us? This is the engine house of producing professionals. How many of those things are owned by the Muslim in Nigeria today? So, number one. Al-Hikmah in Ilori. Number two. Summit. Summit. Oh, I never heard of this. It's a new one. Oh, mashallah. They call it Summit. Oh, beautiful. I'm hearing for the first time. Beautiful. Two, three. Christian. Of the Bola Jibola in Abengota. Three, four. Fountain. Oshogo. Oh, we are progressing. Fine. What about Qalam University? Have you forgotten? Noon wal Qalami. I am saying when you compare to the university owned by the Christians, we are novice. We are novice. We are Lilliputians. How many ones owned by them? Ya Allah. School of nursing in Nigeria. Only three are owned by the Muslims, to my knowledge. School of nursing. We have a long way to go. You have money with people with money, money bags. I am asking Allah the Almighty to make it possible. One day my son should have a university. Won't you say Amen? Surah Amen. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. You're part of that. You see, to be informed is to be formed. To be misinformed is to be deformed. Are you after deformity or formation? Get educated. So I am saying, this is very important. Now, these are what I call the quintuplet what? Quintuplet? Nature of the challenges. For any country to be challenged, there should be security. Number two, there should be quality education. Number three, there should be consistency in food production. And number three, there should be chances of employability and eradication of nepotistic tendencies in the process of employment. And there should be what? Healthcare delivery. These five are inescapable for any country to develop. This is the report. Now I'm adding one. Functional infrastructure. Look at it. I'm saying functional and functioning infrastructure. Good work. As a Nigerian today, more terrible. But they are on the process of
back on the right track. He traveled from Cairo to Abuja to Cairo. Our roads are more of a pit trap than that of motorability. How many people have been dying? Neymar is there. Is it Neymar or Fema? But we have to give credit to the present government. It's doing its best. Huge of money we are eating and eating. Every year, you hear budgetary allocation and a lot from eight. But what's the money? Down the drain. Yet they are claiming to be your leader. Islam is against me. I give you the ayah. Surah number 4, ayah number 1. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها. Similarly, in ayah number 82, surah number 6, الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن. So I am saying, these five things are necessary. I am repeating. Because what is oft repeated is oft assimilated. The ulama are saying, ما تكرر تضرر. ما تكرر تضرر. What is oft repeated is oft domesticated and assimilated. الإمام الحكمي in his compendium, اللؤلؤ المكنون في أحوال الأسانيد والمتون. In a beautiful sentence, he says, فلا يملنك ما تكرر لأنه يحلو إذا تكرر. فلا يملنك ما تكرر لأنه يحلو إذا تكرر. فلا يملنك ما تكرر لأنه يحلو إذا تكرر. Do not be worried by the repetitiveness of learning. It will be nice when it's entrenched. So I'm repeating. You need five things. Okay? Can translate one classification. Security. Education. Say it again. Number one, security. Number two. And then again. 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 Now I am adding functional infrastructure. Road. Water. Water. Then you want to talk of a road. Railways will be included. What about air? Today, in Nigeria, typical Nigerian airport, you are disappointed. Cancel schedule, delay schedule. And they say we are only sorry. If you miss the flight by 1-2 hours goes, you miss it. You are penalized. You are punished. And you have nowhere to load your complaint. That is the nasty situation I come to. You get me? You'll be there. They come to your flight. All the schedule, we are sorry for the delay. Yeah, accept it. At least you are considerate. But why is it this? Where is the right of the consumer? Where is the consumer protection right? You can't tell my class. It's because of some compelling circumstances that I expect to leave the joy. Tomorrow I come, they're going to lie to you. $100, $50. No excuse is accepted. But they give you excuses. They can't be applied. We are saying this is also agonizing. It's not good. It's inhumane. It's not to be palatable. My right have to be preserved, but you talk, you don't talk. The ulama are saying, as-sukutu ala al-munkari munkar. As-sukutu ala al-munkari is munkar itself. Silence on abomination is also abomination. Take it again. As-sukutu ala al-munkar munkar. If I have some munkar, of course there are such of my munkar. Bilsani, tabiyadi, bilsani, قلبي. But generally, السكوت على المنكر منكر. So functional infrastructure. These are very important and crucial in the act and process of governance. Now, for us to have these things working efficiently,
and effectively, and having the desired results of impact, we have to remember the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as encapsulated in the following narrative. Listen, An Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ألا كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته فالأمير الذي على الناس راع وهو مسؤول عن رعيته ذلك نمبر 1 والرجل راع على أهل بيته وهو مسؤول عليهم نمبر 2 نمبر 3 والمرأة woman the lady والمرأة رائية على بيت بعلها الله أكبر woman, the mother, the wife is a shepherd concerning her matrimony and she's going to be responsible on that and for that okay and again it says على بيت بعلها وولده you can see my mother, my wife My daughter, all these are responsible. They are entrusted with a sacred duty, which is sacrifice. Preserving the sanctity of your matrimony. Do not cheat, do not harm. Alright? You are key to the properly mentor. The process of mentoring is a divinely what? A sanctioned responsibility. The way you give back to your children. So the hadith is very clear. Maybe we shall come back to it later. وَالْعَبْدُ رَائِنْ عَلَى مَالِ سَيِّدِي وَهُوَ مَسْعُولٌ أَنُوْ Then he says, أَلَى وَكُلُّكُمْ رَائِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ الرَّئِيَّةِ This hadith is from Sahih al-Bukhari and other sources. Meaning, you are all shepherds. All of you. And you are going to be held accountable on what was encountered in the Qiyamah. Then he explains. The leader, that is Al-Amin, maybe the president, the governor, the chairman, they are all shepherds. And Allah will ask them to be accountable. One. Number two, man, the man, Al-Rajul, is not a shepherd. We keep on talking about the qualities of a good woman. What about the qualities of a good man too? We always talk about the qualities of a mumina. A mumina should be excellent. What about the mumina himself? As I talk about the qualities of a good mumina, there too should be qualities of what? A good husband. Come back home early. Smile at her face. Attend to her needs that are positive. And reasonable. Solve her worries. Calm her. Be a good man, a good father. Carry your kids on your back. Kiss between their eyes. Read the Quran with them. Eat with your wife. Check the imbalances in their eating behavior. Look, the hadith of eating Abbas in Bukhari and Muslim. What did the Prophet say? He said, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ طَعَامًا فلا يمسح يده حتى يلقاها أو يلقاها in Bukhari and Muslim. If one of you eat, he shouldn't just wash his hands under a cup. His fingers. Are we acting differently? Imam al-Nawawi says the meaning is that allow somebody to talk it for you. Who is going to do it for you? Your wife. Who is going to do it for her? Your husband, that is dependent on cordiality of your together. If you are fighting one another, uncle, it's not possible. If you give up, she bites you. Because things are not okay. But look at this. إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ طَعَامًا فَلَايَنْ حَتَّى يَلْأَقَهَا اللَّهُ أَوْيَكَهَا Not today, television teaches you the issues of children. So, the hadith is very clear. Those in leadership, wallahi, are in for a trial. That is, to me personally, I don't congratulate anybody because of any position. Why should I congratulate? It's a challenge, even congratulations. Take it from me.
Why should I give you questions because of this, the government or whatever?
I should only pray that may Allah hold your hand
to give it comfortably,
diligently, to learn gently. Then you deserve conversation.
Yeah.
But as Professor Lumumba, the Kenyan orator, is saying, in African politics today, we are on getting. We congratulate because we have made a big catch. It's a big lottery. Won. In Islam, when you are charged with responsibility, Allah people should just pray for you. A student writing his papers, when he started to say congratulations, what if he fell? Somebody swimming at the beginning of it, congratulations, what if he drowned? But things have been changed. We are just obeying the system of other cultures, including cultures. Let's come back to our city. There is nothing to congratulate about. Until you love somebody, you pray for him. That is beloved. But you know what the person is? Those new congratulations are just looking for something. It's not that sincere. That should be understood. Now, again, after hearing all this, I will go to the next segment in my paper. Shiite uprising, a storm in the flesh of the Ummah. Yeah. Shiite uprising is a storm in the flesh of the Ummah. First, the literal meaning of the word Shi. In the literal sense, she is means to follow and also assist, as well as to align one thing to someone. That is the meaning of she. You are with somebody, that's all. For in many she actually lays right. According to the ulama, the word she means just a party to somebody. If you organize a group today, I'm part of the Amir Shia. That is the literal meaning of the word what? Shia. Okay. According to Khalil ibn Ahmad in Al-Ayn, he says, Shiites are a people supporting the people and following them. The Shia of a man are his companions and followers. Any people can be called Shia if they come together determined to achieve something achievable. End of quotation. A similar view was expressed in the book Al-Johari, Al-Sahih, Volume 1, page 376. He says, okay, here's the example. A book, I forgot to bring the book because I intend to donate the book to the Library of Micah, written by Professor Ahmed Said Al-Hamdan, now late, as a professor in Open Quran University in Mecca. The book, oh, very important, but if you have Arabic, enough Arabic to understand. Atashi Yuru Neshatuhu Wamarahilu Tenwi. The book is a necessity if you want to know what Atashi is. There it is. The other one is Shiwarun Hadi Matiptur al Kabri. So I have four copies of things I intend to donated to the library, and I hope it's going to be important to you. This professor now late says, listen, from 21 to 23, he says two distinctive categories of Shiism in favor of Ali ibn Abi Talib emerge. The one is called political Shiism, at the Shi'u Shiati, and the doctrinal Shiism. As for the political Shi'ism, it started during the reign of Uthman bin Affan. One group preparing him for the office of the caliphate at the demise of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hence, they were called Shia of Uthman. Shia of Uthman. That's the only meaning there. Without giving any coloring of Aqidah. No. Just we prefer XY. That's all. That kind of political treatment ended with the end of the project of Alan Bailey. That's all. Then from there, I see al-Aqdi, doctrinal Al-Shaidism, started. That is the heading for the Ummah. Please get it well. So this man said it. And then, as for the doctrinal Shaidism, it is the one that consisted, culminating into bringing about groups and sects characterized by extremism. Listen, historical forces at the disposal of both the Sunnis and Shiites have it that there was a Jewish personality. You can see the Jewish erotic in capital for the sake of our emblem. Jewish personality that emerged during Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, that pretended to have accepted Islam by way of tactical infiltration. Tactical infiltration. Okay? And cunningly introduces beliefs and dogmas that subsequently became the bedrock of Shi'i. Especially the Sulfas. What are the Sulfas? No, how is my Sharia? Imamiyah is much wider. Yeah. By default, Imamiyah is much wider than the Isna Sharia. So we call them the 12th. Okay, yeah, Imamiyah, but 12th. Because Ismailiyah too is Imamiyah, but it's not just only 7 Imams. Okay. So Imamiyah is a general name that applies, but you have those only 12. So we call them 12th and Isna Sharia. Okay. That personality, I don't want to tell the name. Who can tell the name? Who is that man that a man claimed to be Muslim during Uthman, but who was implanted from? Who is his name? Abdullah ibn Sabah, aka, alternatively known as aka Ibn Sauda, the son of the black lady. It's kind of a derogatory term to use against him. This man, Ibn Sauda, or Ibn Sabah, a man, and claim that Ali ibn Abi Talib was a god. What? He says, so, you know, people flock around him. They flock around him. They were called the Saba'iyun. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, وَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ الْأَمْرَ أَمْرًا مُنْكَرًا أَجَّجْتُ نَارِي وَدَأَوْتُ قَنْبَرًا. When I saw the situation was so heinous and bad, I just made my big fire and I invited them. What do you feel of me? You are a god. He will throw them to the hellfire. The leader ran away. He went around, he introduced the idea of saying the Prophet had a wasi, somebody appointed divinely sanctioned Ali ibn Abi Talib. So this guy was believed to be of Jewish beliefs. He only claimed to be Muslim and is a Christian, though people were trying to deny it. Yeah, pretty dies hurt. But the more you read, the clearer the system becomes for you. Okay, Abdullah ibn Sabah. It is a known fact that since the time of the emergence of Dr. Shi'ism, having its features and followers, it had been living in constant clashes with the rest of the world. You can't I told you two people in 2015. Remember the name? Two personalities. Who? Who? Nasir al-Tusi and who again? Ibn al-Alqami. You see, whatever is told me, reduce documentation, write it. Because ma kutiba qarra, or ma ufidha farra. Okay, now, they have been in constant clash with the rest of the Muslim Ummah, as a result of which much blood has been spilled, and boundaries of honor trespassed. This is owing to their erroneous and dogmatic belief that another source for the religion of Islam also exists. And that those are the infallible imams. Those imams were taught. You know them through the books. Okay? So if imagine represents a piercing thorn in the fleshy body of the Ummah, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. This briefly describes the historical laddering of this aberrational and painful reality. It is also relevant to share this important albeit brief piece of information for enlightenment, especially for those catapulted by inspiring speeches that usually end up in appealing to emotional sentiment than actuality of historical substance. Somebody will just flag off because somebody can just talk. Without the substance, in Islam, don't go for the superficiality. Dig down to have the substance. Okay? The Shia will tell you the Sahaba took away by usurpation of a usurpation. It's not yours, but it's the land. They will lie, Umar ibn Khattab had to beat Fatima and broke her. It's a lie, that is a lie. A lie is part of the part of their doctrine. They have the taqiyah. Yes, taqiyah. So I am telling you, the book I brought in my car are for, I'm going to please read it. Read it. Because one day if you call me, I'm going to ask you, did you read the book? It's an Arabic. If I prescribe it, because until, and unless you know, you can be like just a football, to be dribbled many ways. May Allah come to our rescue. Then after this brief history of Sweden, I didn't tell you how it came to Nigeria. This is not that. No, the so-called Islam only those heydays. Everything, no talk. Islam only. Somebody will come and tell you something very, very appealing. You will accept it. A lot of Mboku in northern Nigeria today accepted the Iranian revolution on the basis of this is a Messiah that has come. I had to learn it. It's a 40-year time. Without reading deeply what the basis is. Oh, the man has helped the government of Shah Reza. He had this and that. And the world was a goal then, supposedly. Some Mboku to this level, you can only look at it. They are not Shia necessarily, but because of the periphery they have looked at. But that's what they want. They spend a lot of money, as you can see later, in making sure they make you engage, I mean, engage without learning. They hold you for ourselves. Now, after hearing this, I just suggested ways out, inshallah. Are you with the paper? Suggested ways what? Inshallah. I am of the humble opinion that the following can help in strengthening the crooked terrain for the better. These are number one. That is, in the light of the challenge of the Sagittarian terror in our country, and what happened lately, going to National Assembly, summoning the courage of being crossing over. You can imagine. And the government is there. And there are some people talking about justice, justice. Yeah, justice is an important commodity. But do not manipulate terms. You have to look at the meaning. You can see, you will see here, inshallah, justice should be given to anybody deserving. But what is this trust? Do not take it for a ride. Do not play with our intelligence. Okay, so after hearing all this, I am suggesting this way, and inshallah, finishing out of the formula, we find our 10 pieces of advice. Number one, there should be undertaken scholarly exposition on the beliefs, dogmas, and backgrounds for the pools of inspirational truth of deviant sects, especially the Shia. Some are just ignorant followers. Very important point. Some are just ignorant what? Followers. Yeah.
just carried by flowery speeches, sugar out of expression.
Okay.
But there are more than what meets the eye. And I want to tell you, I can repeat it. To be informed is to be informed. To be misinformed is to be deformed. Which one do you prefer? Formation or deformation?
Of course, formation.
So Allah is not a very, very, very thing. I will show you one. In my home in Kano, one young man came and said, Allah, yes, Sheikh. This is my other sister. She is married. But she is Shia. Please, yes, Sheikh. Do everything possible to convince her. Well, to convince her is my duty. In Aleka, in Al-Bala, mine is to say, you know, after quoting everything that I could, you know what I said? Wali muna san iyalan Muhammad Rasulullah.
Okay.
I thought wali muna san iyalan Muhammad Rasulullah. That's the only answer she gave me. She couldn't even say Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad Rasulullah.
What will you do with that situation?
That's ignorance. Okay? Documented. But when something was done to her, she was given something. She was listened to. And we are lacking as a society this kind of behavior. We concentrate keeping order in the urban areas. Why don't you go to the periphery? Why don't you go to the local? Why? Now, man is by nature what? Attracted by your good behavior. The Arab are saying, Al-insanu abdul ihsan. Al-insan abdul ihsan. Man by nature is the servant of goodness. Okay, so number one, there should be scholarly exposition, not erratical. Scholarly explanations of what she is. Get a book. Tell us the origin, the beginning, how it sprang up, what happened. Historical antecedents. That we are not to come with. So I'm repeating the book I'm going to give you. Please, Imam, you are here. Amir is not here, he's on Hajj, I'll bring back, inshallah ta'ala, read the book and other books. Get competent scholars to expose, to analyze, to explain. What is it? I told you, it has so many. Political theism, atashayu siyasi, wa atashayu al-akad doctrine. The term is doctrinal one. So I am saying, there is number one. Number two, there should be a well-planned and articulated effort in all ramifications through the media to counter the propaganda of Shia. They are now using media. They use the BBC. Yes. Everything, you get the BBC. They can walk. The candidate, the man behind the man. Those of you who are on the TV, you know what I'm talking about. The candidate. It's a color in New Nigeria of yesterday. The candidate, some youngsters, you don't know it. The candidate, the man behind the man. Wara al kawali, the news media, wallah the office. We are lucky in the media. Micah cannot boast of a television station, but they have wilayah. The ones we have, like Sunnah TV, the race, are not a functionally functioning letter with that. I can vividly recall some 10 years back in Makkah when I was there, 10 years back for Umrah, the Nigerian community invited me, housekeeper, you are going to speak with the Amir of Makkah. I took the opportunity, in Arabic I say, yeah, I mean, it's important to have media outfit for counter the Shia activities. Our language house today is global now. There isn't opportunity, and you are silent. But who cares? So I am saying number two, because this kind of uprising, I told you, people are ignorant. Educate them. Give them a chance to know through these things I am saying. Number one, I told you, scholarly exposition, lectures, and the rest. And number two, I am only repeating, there should be a well-planned and articulated effort in all ramifications through the media to counter the propaganda of the Shia. Number three, sermons, cycles of knowledge, lectures, and or symposia like this one by Micah, should be held from time to time, and all concerns should be invited. We touch on touchy and topical issues. We prompt you to ask a question in the first meeting, you know, amply answered in a scholastic manner, so you will hear. If you're anything to say, please get another book of the same professor I talk about. He was talking to one Shi'i, Dr. Al-Qadwini. The name of the book is Hiwarun Hadi, Intelligent Engagement Between Me and That Guy. You need to read the book in Arabic. He dislodged me through intercessory. That is very important. If, for example, he says, if Ali ibn Abi Talib was infallible, a ma'asum, they are saying they are ma'asum. A ma'asum does not commit himself. You know what will happen and what happened. So why did he keep silent? Servant under Allah and Allah. Why did he? The mandate given to him by Allah, why did he keep God on that? So he is the one to be culprit number one. If you're speaking the truth. This out of many intellectual questions, more than 80 or 70, you need to go. You'll be asked. At least you know how to answer somebody. Whether he takes or not, it's not your business. In alayka illa balagh. That is number three. Number four, I'm saying scholarly books on Shi'ism should be written. But scholarly. Not just because you want to empty your ink on a white paper, you begin to write. It is rubbish. Make sure you are up to the qualification. You have the method to talk. Okay. Should be written. Okay. Should be taught. Should be explained and or translated into the local languages for enlightening, especially the endangered species in the rural areas. You go to Igala land today. Igala land, the Kina. Places like Ayimba, places like Ida, places like Okene, places of Igbera, for example. You see a lot of Okene in the Shi'is. Because of the absence of true knowledge. They can easily be won over. Just like the way the Christians are talking. Christians will be going house to house. Accept Jesus, he said. What are you doing? You don't have to fight. Nasha fada me abun fada baya fada fada am fada ba ka kan fada la ka fada zan fada min ya ku. So that's very important. Similarly, number one, number five, listen to this. Parents should keep a vigilant and watchful eye on the typology of friendship kept by their kids. Parents, I'm repeating, should keep a vigilant and watchful eye on the typology of friendship kept by their kids, because they say, tell me who your friends are and I'm going to tell you who you are. إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي قَوْمٍ فَصَاحِبِ خِيَارَهُمْ وَلَا تَصْحَبِ الْأَرْضَ فَتَرْدَى مَعَ الرَّجِعِ عَنِ الْمَرْءِ لَا تَسْأَلْ وَصُلْ عَنْ كَرِيمِهِ فَكُنُّ كَرِيمٍ بِالْمُقَارَنِ يَكْتَرِ. The Shia and other Deen groups are absolutely, because they go to school, they interact, they look at the internet, they can be easy prey. So pray against the prey, but they match the prayers with action. You pray, so you're not a prey, but then act. Preserve your key. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum wa narat. That is also important. You can see a lot of boys today, you know, going for Shi'ism on account of the flowering being given. So make sure you care about the children. Our girls going to the university, they can easily be entrapped into Muta'a and Uzbila. Muta'a is married. It is dinner. What are you telling me? It's attractive. A young man wants to satisfy himself conjugally or sexually
It is haram. Oh, the license. He goes licentiously. It is haram. It causes bad things in the ummah. Don't keep quiet. Al-sukutu al-munkar munkar. Wait. Apart from the government, that is number six. Is it number six? Government should be extra careful on a nasty possibility of exploiting any loopholes on security by foreign nations that are determined to expose their ideas and brand of Islam through terror into the country. You know what I mean? Al-Musawi, he was a Shiite man, and maybe he sent it to him. He wrote a book in Arabic. The book I translated into Hausa and English. The name of the book is Villahi Militari. He was saying in one place, when the Iran Revolution took place, Ayatollah called me. He was saying, put it aside. Ya Musawi, the time is not up. That is to export the revolution to all parts of the world. Now you are saying the export. What I do? We are just as if as a trust fighting for liberation. Tell me who is the leader of Al-Sunnah and the Jersey. Tell me. Who will see one voice for me to listen and accept to tell them? We are fragmented, disunited. But the wrong people can be together to achieve their common abbreviation. La ilaha illallah. So what I am saying is the duty of the government. I chose the complex what? Things previous. It's government duty. Again, number seven, government should avoid any action of injustice in any colorism and in dealing with anyone. What is just Wa idha qultum fa'dilu. Government should not act extrajudicial. Justice should be done and let it be seen as being done. Yes. We are advocate for that. Not only just be done, it should be done appropriately. Because as the legal Puritan has said, justice delayed is what? Justice denied. So I am repeating, government should avoid any action of injustice in any typology, in any coloring, and in dealing with anyone. However, we should not be taken for a ride by twisting or manipulating the meaning and the context of injustice for ulterior motive. Yeah. And I'm going to imagine this. Injustice is haram. But what is injustice in the contextual difference of the topic? If somebody should block my pathway from Kano to Kaduna, okay, subjected to excruciating difficulties, converting government properties to your own, is it justice? And if somebody is captured, is arrested, trying to do this with the whole battle, is very important. So I am saying, maintain it. وَفْتَجِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَلِيَا. But it surprises you, you hear the so-called FOCO of Focoist mentality, or the foreign media talking about XYZ, without looking at the other dark side of the story. There are red lines in the call. Any country with territorial integrity should be responsible. Don't bring blame. So be careful. You go to Iran and see how hard it's going to have. You go on to. You haven't been a single message for Allah Sunnah that we know and Tehran today. But then if some government can badly, do it in a good way. Okay? If you take a stone and throw to Abdul Karim, let him get a nice meat and give it to you. In fact, yes. But don't abuse my sense of humility. don't abuse man's sense of humility and simplicity. Sluggishness of the water doesn't mean stupidity. So it's government duty to have this, to understand it. Again, what did I say? Number one. Number seven. Number eight. Employ chances in all sectorial ramifications. Okay, employable actions. Employable chances in all sectoral or sectorial, no, it should be sectoral, correct? Ramification should be filled up by Muslims of sound Africa. What do I mean here? Wallahi, we have the laxity. How many lecturers do we have in our tertiary institution in Salakir, in Castle, in Dunford, in ABU, in BUK? She has attended, not for me. For the purpose of indoctrination, where are you? Where are you? Employees. So I am saying employable chances. Employable chances, not only in academic side. Lawyers, there are a lot of chances. They will be up. Medical doctors. Can you imagine? 180,000 doctors are of Pittsburgh government. What? Is it a competition or what? So employable chances should be captured, should be used. Bahaushe ya ce in ka samu dama, ka dama don ka tsadane kuma ka damu. In ka samu dama, ka dama, ka tsadane kuma ka damu. You know what I'm saying? An opportunity, one close, can scarcely, can seldom, can hardly go out, be again. So listen to this. Any chance of employment, let's be there. It's security. Okay? In low profession. In what again? Academic cycle. In businesses. Let's be there. Because if people have to be economically backward, the battle has been won against them. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, point number one. Economic empowerment, especially for the vulnerable in our society, should positively engage our thinking perspective and should be action oriented. What do I mean? Point number nine, as my piece of advice, economic empowerment, especially for the vulnerable. Vulnerable are those with vulnerability. Women are by default vulnerable. On comparative analysis, isn't it? Little kids are vulnerable. That's correct? And the like. So vulnerability can cut across even ages and geographies and ethnicities. So I am saying economic empowerment, especially for the youth, should be there. Open businesses. I asked you previously, how many of you are into farming? How many of you compose of the bags of rice you produced this year? What about breeding camels and animals? Very important. Don't rely on white collar jobs. Previously, we used to have a car called Lada Tamboku. Lada is no longer there today. Don't tell me because of your master's degree, your PhD, your bachelor of art or whatever, you're going to be employed automatically. Automatic year is no longer there. This is not automatic year. Get something doing. Life should be there to be supported. The Shias know how to catch the fish. And that's it. So I am repeating. Economic empowerment, especially for the vulnerable, in our society should possibly engage our business. Look, wallahi, there was a time in Kano, some young men came to me. They said, wallahi, ya Sheikh, we went to an area around my place in Kano. They told me, I'm locked. We quickly got locked. They told me they went to the house of a lady. You know what? The woman was released. Her husband died.
with four orphan children. She was just crying, looking at them. When these good people entered the next house, they gave her just one mood of rice. And she was crying. And she asked them, "What's her name? Allah?" She was crying. I was crying. One mood of rice with four kids. The mother is no longer there. If a Shi'i or a Christian comes and gives her, tell me what's going to happen. I explained this during my session in America. You know, one young man in the masjid said, "Allahu Akbar, ya Sheikh, this $100 you sent to her." He was saying, "Said, you know, man, I am saying, if people are economically down, they are the jackal who has come and picked it. Quickly, because of time factor, they are saying, remember, idle hands are the devil's watch workshop. 10, listen to me. Be very, very, how many people did I mention it? Be very, very careful as to who is proposing to marry your daughter. And never decide on the shame. They say, hey, stop marrying our daughter. Go to the of Allah. Aha! Because of money, you surrender your daughter? You have to find out who is marrying our daughter. Be careful. In the school, be very, very careful. Allah will ask you, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Because of the glittering of this light, not all that glitters is a cross. So be very, very careful who is proposing to your daughter. Do not mortgage the life of your daughter for what? The children, among others. May Allah guide us aright. Then I say, Al-Khatimah, conclusion. Brothers and sisters, the foregoing lines of this presentation represent a little effort on my part trying to draw our attention on the nature of the challenges facing us, the meaning of sectarian terror, violence, and oppression, the inherent danger in the beliefs and practices of deviant sects, especially Shi'ism, and its shades of dogmatic doctrinal inclination. May Allah guide us in the path. Whatever that comes out to be correct in the course of this presentation, this is a grace from Allah, the benevolent. Any mistake, flaw, and shortcomings are entirely mine, being a human being, prone to make mistakes. Hence, I ask Allah the Almighty to forgive me and accept this as an act of ibadah. Finally, I beseech Allah, the Almighty, to reward Micah abundantly for its effort, struggle, and commitment in the cause of Allah. May such efforts never go in vain. آمين ثم آمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله وبركاته.